welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
This week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Holley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And Trevor, we got a lot to discuss this week. Let's start with last week's game. Ended up being a 41-10 loss at Texas A&M. Felt bigger than that for a lot of the game. So, I mean, I guess the fact that they came back and had a second half score at least was something, but that game got out of control early.
Yeah, I mean, they were down 24-0 at half, 34-0 halfway through the third quarter. Honestly, after the first 5-6 minutes, it seemed like the outcome was already in hand. You could see the writing on the wall. Yeah. And I know a lot of Missouri fans, and a lot of them pointed the blame to that missed pass interference on the first drive of the game and the long touchdown that got called back, and wanted to blame refs. The refs had absolutely no...
It is worth saying the call was wrong, I think. I don't know why they picked it up. I never saw a justification for why they waved it off after throwing it. But one play is also not going to make up the 31-point loss.
Yeah, and also Brady Cook puts that ball in a catchable range.
Right.
That flag probably doesn't get picked up. It was not a good ball. It was not really anywhere near him. So I assume they picked it up because it was uncatchable. But, I mean, it was a game that went wrong from the start. They got destroyed at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They couldn't run.
Right.
They couldn't pass. And they just didn't look like a top 10 team.
Yeah. So starting at that point, that was obviously a big play. You hope that you get that. Then you get a Luther Burden play called back from offensive lineman downfield, ineligible receiver, whatever you want to call it. It was the right call. You don't see that called sometimes. I think it was kind of a borderline call. Yes, by the spirit of the law, it was fine. I think it was more the problem for me was after that play happens, what ensues after that. And I haven't seen a ton about it, and I know that they're not going to badmouth the kid, but you basically see Luther get so upset and throw such a temper tantrum after the play gets called back that he doesn't come back for the next three plays. And then all of a sudden you're punting the ball and you get nothing out of that possession. I'd like to see him, if he is, as for all his athleticism, I would like to see him a little more focused mentally and maybe come back the next play and go, okay, fine, you took away that one, I'm going to do it again and run past you again, let's run the same thing and let's see if we can get it again. But instead, he's over there ranting and raving, and the cameras picked it up pretty well. And it just seemed like that was kind of symptomatic of how the rest of the day went, where it was just like they weren't mentally ready for this game. No matter what happened to them, they were going to have a mental breakdown.
Yeah, and it was the first diva moment we've seen from Luther Burden. Obviously, a lot of the top wide receivers at the college and NFL level have kind of that diva mentality to them. And Luther, and we talked about it last week, hasn't got an enormous amount of touches, and he's never really threw a fit about that.
Right.
It was just kind of a situation where he felt like he had a big play that might change the game.
Sure.
It gets called back. But like you mentioned, you can't just pout on the sideline and kind of give up on your team. And I don't know if the heat played a factor into that. It didn't seem like it.
Right.
I kind of wanted to give him a little bit of a break. And then you mentioned it. It went on for a couple plays. And it's like, okay, this isn't him tired. This is him
kind of throwing a fit. Sometimes you'll see that after a big long pass play. You're like, oh, the guy's winded. Bring in the next guy. That's fine for the next play. But if you can't catch your breath with a whole nother play in between, and then you're still sitting over there trying to catch your breath, quote unquote, I don't know if I like that. I mean, if you're not in good enough shape to run down the field, come back, run down the field again, come back, run down the field again, maybe you're not a wide receiver, because that's kind of what they do. So, again, I don't think it was a conditioning thing. I think it was just more of a, let's let Luther pout for a while and then we'll bring him back later. Well, the game was done by the time you brought him back later.
Yeah, and he's a guy that's always had those elder leadership around in the room. And Theo Weiss is still there, and obviously Brady Cook's a vocal leader as well, but he's kind of happened to step up into that role this year as more of a leader than he has in the past. And if he's one of the leaders of this team, you can't have your leader throwing a fit on the sideline.
Right.
That's going to leak onto everybody else on that team. And you could just see the belief in that team zapped so fast in that game. And kind of like you mentioned, they were not ready. And we talked about it last week. If you are not ready to walk into Texas A&M and play a good game, they're not going to beat you. They're going to throttle you. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, and I think also, too, when you talk about preparation, Again, they can say what they want. Maybe they prepared for both quarterbacks. Maybe they didn't. We got a surprise when Connor Wigman played when we didn't think he was going to play. But it almost looked like Mizzou hadn't prepared one bit to see him because everything they threw at him didn't work or didn't throw at him or weren't ready for him. Because, I mean, he was on target early, and it almost looked like they're like, oh, we prepped for the other guy. I don't know who this guy is, so we're in trouble. And it's like, I would hope at some point it would have been, I mean, maybe they did prepare for him, and that's how they prepared. Well, if they did, that was not very good preparation.
I mean, yeah, if they did prepare for Marcel Reed, that's more of an out-of-the-pocket, extend plays kind of guy, sure. Hurt you with his legs and get you over the top if you allow it. Wigman was completely the opposite and kind of just beat him from the pocket.
Yeah.
Even more alarming, they gave up 6.6 yards per carry. So even if they were stopping the passing game, like I mentioned earlier, they got destroyed up front.
Yeah.
On both sides of the ball, they couldn't stop the run. There was zero pass rush to be heard of. And on the offensive side, you have Nate Noel, and we talked about how there might be a little regression coming. 10 rushes for 30 yards. And obviously not all of that can be put on him. The offensive line had a big factor in that too, but it is very alarming to see an SEC team get beat the way they did up front.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, not much of anything really from the standpoint of, you know, it's like, well, you know, it didn't seem like they could sustain drives. We saw Brady Cook, again, not looking super sharp on stuff where, you know, again, that's we're getting past the point where you can just go, oh, it was a game or two, but it'll come around. It's not coming around, and we're to the point now where I know that the message boards out there are just clamoring for the backup. I don't think that's the answer. I don't think that's the solution, and I don't think it's going to all of a sudden make Mizzou all of a sudden look fantastic. There's other issues, but it does stand to reason that he's got to get better at some point. Because if he doesn't, this is going to be a long second half of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, Brady definitely needs to shoulder quite a bit of the blame on the offensive side of the football. And we talked about last week how he's missing deep shots. I think an even more alarming issue that really came to the forefront on Saturday was he's missing the layups.
Right.
You cannot miss the 5-yard outs. You cannot miss the slants. You can't sustain drives if you're missing the short passes. Yeah. And you're never really going to get the chance for the deep pass if you don't hit the short one.
So, right.
Obviously, I'll say it again, offensive line did not do him any favors, but if your quote-unquote star quarterback that had a phenomenal season last year goes 13 of 31 passing, that's a huge issue against the first major competition you've seen that season. So he definitely needs to play better, but like you mentioned, just because there's a problem doesn't mean there's a clear solution.
Right.
And Drew Pine is not the clear solution.
No.
So if Missouri is going to be successful this season, and they still can be, it needs to be on the shoulders of Brady Cook in that offense.
That's the thing to focus on, is it's still very salvageable. It's not like all of a sudden the season is done. There's nothing that you can do about it. Again, I think, you know, there's been a lot of conversation this year about with the expansion of the playoff. It does lend, you start to think, okay, well, one loss doesn't kill you. Yeah, one loss doesn't kill you if you're certain teams. One loss still doesn't kill you, I think, with where Missouri started. I think they're still kind of hanging around there that, you know, one loss doesn't kill you. A second one, if you're Missouri, I think it would. A second one doesn't kill you if you're Alabama, Georgia, some of those other schools. A second loss for Missouri by this point is gonna keep you out, I think. And so now you're looking at, we've got to run the table. Now, again, we thought at the beginning of the year, looking at the schedule, that's A&M's always a tough place to play. You go, okay, that's a 50-50 game. And if you lose it, well, then all of a sudden our grand plans for this magical season have been derailed a little bit. I think it's still there. But again, like you said, I think everybody's got to get better. And everything has to get shored up fast because, again, you know, it's not just Brady, the fact that he's off on this play and this doesn't happen or this doesn't do this. It's just the fact that when you're throwing behind guys and they're constantly having to break off a route earlier, twist around a catch, and then all of a sudden what should be a nice 15-yard gainer is like a 6-yard I fell to the ground because I was had to make a diving catch. Those plays, you have to be operating on all cylinders for the rest of this schedule to go the way you want to have it.
Yeah, and it's kind of the downside. If everybody looked at this Missouri schedule at the beginning of the season and said this is a very easy SEC schedule by SEC standards, but the flip side of that is if you get mollywopped in a game by Texas A&M, all of a sudden you don't have many opportunities for that marquee win.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they could run the table and make the playoff. I mean, more than likely they will lose at Alabama in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
If they win that game, everything all of a sudden changes again. You have that marquee win over a really, really good team.
Sure.
And then maybe you can afford a loss somewhere mixed in there. But the margin for error of this Missouri team for the rest of the season is almost zero.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. With that stretch and talking about where they're at now, I mean, it is a situation where with that loss, Missouri drops from 9 to 21. I think some people think that was kind of severe. I think some people don't. So what was your opinion on that?
I mean, my opinion was they deserve to drop and drop quite a bit. I mentioned earlier they looked no part of being a top 10 team. But I still do very much believe they are better than what they showed in that game. And what hurt them is they don't have the resume to back them up. It's like I was just saying, they don't have a marquee win or anything really close to it. Their best win is now, I guess, against Vanderbilt after they took down Alabama last week. But you look at that and you drop 9 to 21 and all of a sudden you're firmly in the playoff picture to a distant overlooking of it. I thought it was a little bit harsh. I definitely understand it, but I think water will kind of find its level, and this is probably a fringe top 15-ish team.
That's the thing, I think, because again, I don't think I had a problem with it once you kind of start breaking down some of the other things, and I think probably for some of the voters, it was just a matter of, okay, let's look and see, can we put them above this team? Can we put them above this team? Well, there's a lot of teams. I mean, obviously you can't put them above A&M now, who was kind of sitting out there in the fringes, so that automatically means A&M, who moved up, you know, 10 spots, you know, they're now all of a sudden at 15. Well, you got to put them somewhere 16 on down. Then it becomes a whole bunch of 4-1s where you're like, okay, are they better or worse than 4-1 Utah, 4-1 Boise State, you know, 4-1 Oklahoma, 4-1 Kansas State? I think a lot of those teams have a lot better, more glitzy wins where you go, okay, their 4-1's better than our 4-1. And so I think it made some sense. And especially, you know, you look at some of those teams and I think they've got maybe a little bit more glitzy stuff to look at from a standpoint of, you look at a Boise State and go, boy, their running back is fantastic. He's you know, inserted himself right into the Heisman conversation. You go, well, they don't have somebody playing better than that guy right now, so you put him behind him. So, yeah, I think the thing is it's still got time to shake out. So I don't think it's necessarily too harsh, but it's one of those things where it's like, well, if you're mad about it, fine, get mad and wing your way back in.
Yeah, and you're going to have chances to correct that in the upcoming weeks. Obviously, a win over UMass today isn't going to do a ton for the AP poll, but the next 4 weeks after that, you have Auburn at home, you have at Alabama, you have Oklahoma, who's right in front of them in that conversation at home, and then you have a South Carolina team that's much better than a lot of people expected coming into the season. So you have a very tough schedule coming up if you're Missouri, but you have opportunities to correct the major wrong that you had last week and kind of get back in that conversation. Yeah. And a win over Alabama would firmly put them in that as long as they take care of the rest. Yeah. So it's still in front of them, but there were some major red flags flying everywhere last week.
So I think if there's a measure of panic, or if certain Mizzou fans are panicking because of, like you said, those red flags, it will either get blunted or it will get, you know, accelerated today, because again, it's 11 o'clock game, ESPN2 at UMass. I don't know what ESPN2 was thinking putting it all in there, because maybe there were just no better games, but it is a struggling UMass team, and let's just kind of go through it from the standpoint of, you know, yes, there's one win, but it's not a great win because it was Central Connecticut, but you start out with, you know, three consecutive losses, Eastern Michigan, Toledo, Buffalo, get that win, and then you lose to Miami of Ohio and lose to Northern Illinois. So again, Northern Illinois had that great glitzy win early in the year about Notre Dame, then came crashing back to earth. So maybe that loss wouldn't have been so bad a couple weeks ago. Now it's just like, well, it's another loss. So I don't think it's a pedigree where you look at it and go, this UMass team is going to pose a problem today. So if they do, then it's time to panic, I think, for Mizzou fans.
So yeah, it's a situation where you can't really gain much. Nothing that really happens in this UMass game today is going to change anything that they do going into SEC play, and not going to translate to success in SEC play.
Right.
So the opinion is not going to change positively really much at all, no matter what they do today, but it definitely can change negatively.
Correct.
If all of those red flags that you saw last week and kind of in the weeks prior leading up to it that were there, but not really an issue yet, if they're an issue again today and it's another close game, it's time to panic, and panic real bad if you're a Missouri Tiger fan.
So let's say that things things do go horribly wrong today and Mizzou finds itself in a battle coming down the stretch, what will have happened from the UMass standpoint that means that they're in this game late?
It's got to be their passing game. Tyson Pumichon, their quarterback, he's another dual threat guy, and we talked about it last week with Marcel Reed. Dual threat quarterbacks have been kind of their bugaboo defensively up until last week, where everything was their bugaboo. But I mean, if UMass is going to successfully move the ball on the Missouri defense, it's going to be on the shoulders from him. He's their leading rusher. He's got 1,280 passing yards with 7 touchdowns, so he is capable. He hasn't shown it super consistently throughout this year, but if they're going to have success, it's going to come from him. And they have a pretty deep wide receiver core. They have 2 guys that have caught 6 of their 7 touchdowns, and T.Y. Harding's one of them that kind of jumped out to me. He only has 8 catches, but he's got close to 200 yards, so he's kind of that big play threat that Mizzou's struggled with so far this year. But they have 4 other guys outside of those two that have 10 plus catches. Okay. So plenty of weapons to go around for him. I mean, they're not the most talented in the world, but they have shown the ability to hurt defenses, so it would have to come from them.
Yeah. I don't think that this is going to be a game where the Mizzou offense struggles. I can imagine that the way that the defense has played so far for UMass, I don't think that's going to be a problem. But I do feel like this might be, I don't know, it's going to be a highly watched game for Mizzou fans from the standpoint of, yeah, let's see if they've been able to correct the things that needed to be corrected. And again, I don't know how much you're going to be able to take away from it, because it's not like the UMass run stuffers are the run stuffers that A&M has. So I don't think you can go, they only averaged 2.3 yards a carry last week. This year, or this week, they averaged 6, we fixed it. I think you're going to expect that number to go up. It's just a matter of how clean, I think, does everything look today is what you're going to hope for.
Yeah, there's no Nick Scorton sitting on the other side this week like A&M had last week, and we didn't really talk much about him last week. That's a projected first-round pick. That's an absolute dude.
Right.
Like, very, very good player.
Right.
But the offensive line is really going to be what I'm watching today, because they struggled mightily last week, and this is going to be a game, like you mentioned, where they're going to be able to run the football. You have to be able to see that offensive line get physical again, get downfield, and kind of show that nastiness that they had none of last week.
Yeah.
And circling back to the point, there's nothing that's going to happen today where you're going to say the problem's fixed.
Right.
It can only go the opposite way, but it would be nice to kind of have a week off of those worries if you're a Missouri fan, I'm sure. So obviously a winnable game, and it needs to be a game that they dominate.
Yeah.
You're not going to gain much, but you could lose a lot.
Yeah, I think the one thing that, I don't think that they're not going to know what to say as a coaching staff, as the leaders of the team. I think everyone said the right things in terms of, we've got to be better. We need to execute at a higher level. We need to do this. So it sounds like they're the correct amount of mad. It's just a matter of, can you now go, we got to be better, and it starts this week. So it'll be interesting to see if they can follow through on that.
Yeah, and the mantra of the team last year was something to prove, and they tried to hold on to that this year, even with the high expectations. And I liked Drinkwitz coming out after the game and calling it an embarrassment, because flat out it was.
Yeah.
If you want to be that mid to high level SEC team, you can't just get embarrassed.
Right.
And he mentioned being competitive. They weren't competitive from the start till very the end.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just not a thing that they can survive. And you have to be consistent week to week. And if you're going to lose a game with this 12-team playoff, it can't be those ugly, ugly losses that you look back on. And a committee's going to view that.
Yeah.
So it was just ugly all around. And embarrassing is a good word that Drinkwitz used. And that should be how a lot of Mizzou fans feel.
So I think there may not be a lot of Mizzou fans who maybe get up early to make sure they get there right for the opening snap of this 11 o'clock start today. But I think there will be some viewership later on. Mizzou is a 27.5 point favorite. So I'll just ask you, now that we're at the prediction point of the podcast, does Mizzou cover this week? Because I think I can sense that you're going to pick them to win.
Yeah, definitely going to pick them to win. I'm trying to picture in my brain what I picked in the paper this morning. I know I picked them to cover because I do think this will kind of be a frustration game where they get a lot of that out. I believe I went 48-10, so that's what we'll go with.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter @TREVHAHN3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.